CBSI and the world, I'm John Batchelor. Holiday period, 2022-2023. The cancellation of flights across America, but especially Southwest Airlines. I learned from David Henderson of the Hoover Institution, 5,500 flights were canceled on a two-day period for Southwest, not just any two-day period, right before and on Christmas, meaning families were brokenhearted and search for luggage, search for pickups, everything was tied up because of Southwest Airlines. What is to be learned from this? What is to be done? David, a very good evening to you. You take me to a technical term that if I'd had the education my father wanted, I would understand because I would have taken your Economics 101 course. What is a residual claimant? Residual claimant. And how does that help solve the mystery of Southwest Airlines failure? Good evening to you.
Hi. A residual claimant, it's a clunky term, admittedly, but it's one of the best terms economists have. It means someone who has a claim, a property right to the residual. What's the residual? What's left over from revenue after all expenses have been covered? We sometimes might call it profit. And so the fact that Southwest is a for-profit airline means it has a strong incentive to care about revenues, which means future passengers, and costs. So yes, they messed up. They have software that's out of date for contacting their crews when storms happen. And the reason I talk about this is Pete Buttigieg, the Secretary of Transportation, said he wants them to be accountable. Southwest is accountable. They have to worry about future business. And unless the federal government keeps subsidizing and bailing out airlines, they will worry about future business. And so they are accountable.
If I read your column correctly at Defining Ideas for the Hoover Institution, you take us to an exchange you had with a dry cleaning operation that lost your shirt. You really, the shirt off your back, they lost it. And you had a conversation with an employee, not the manager, an employee.
Yes.
How does that conversation illustrate your point?
So I thought everyone can understand it because most people have been in this kind of situation, if not the exact one. The dry cleaner I went to was a small mom and pop operation. And they lost one of my best shirts, and I'd worn it only a few times. And so I said to the employee, I'd like to be compensated. I wanted 80% because I'd worn it a few times. Without question, the employee gave me 100% of what I'd paid and took my word for what I had paid. The employee wasn't the residual claimant, but the employee answered to the manager, and the manager, if not the owner, would have answered to the owner. And to most of those cases, the manager is the owner. And so they have to worry about future business. This happened sometime in the late 80s, early 90s, when we didn't have Yelp. We weren't online, but we had word of mouth, we had letters to the editor, and that's what keeps those businesses accountable. So I took that simple case that pretty much everyone can understand and then applied it to Southwest, which is also for profit, and shareholders do care about profits. And so they will discipline their board, which represents shareholders to some extent, will discipline the airline, discipline the managers to make better decisions. That's my prediction. That's where we have much more. Yeah, sorry.
So what you're saying is that the business's motive is to oblige you to understand that they regret and they want your business and they want you to come back. That's their motive. And they use money to validate their opinion. And that worked for you with the mom and pop store.
It worked better than I expected. I asked for 80%. I got 100%.
And you were then moved to continue. And if the employee had gone to his manager, do you expect you would have heard the same thing? Because he looked spontaneously to react it. A good employee.
Yeah. So if the employee had said no, that would be the only reason to go to the manager. And then I would have made my case to the manager and I would have fully expected to get some large percent of the value of that shirt. And so, that's why I was quite confident in doing it.
Now we come to the mystery of the United States government and what authority it has over private enterprise, Southwest Airlines. Southwest Airlines cancels 5,500 flights on the critical days of the calendar year to get home to mom and dad. The Secretary of the Transportation is Secretary Buttigieg, and David provides a quote from an interview on PBS. The Secretary said, I spoke to the CEO of Southwest Airlines. I reminded him of the stepped-up commitments that the airline made to our department over the summer. We got those commitments in writing about how they take care of customers. And then the secretary says, we're going to be holding them accountable to those commitments and expect them to go above and beyond the letter of the law in terms of how they treat passengers. David, what authority does Secretary Buttigieg have that is superior to the authority of the marketplace?
He doesn't. And I think he understands that. And maybe that's why he goes on vacations when these things happen. But the point is that he stepped in, notice that quote, two things about it. He stepped in for the consumers. How does he know what consumers want? How does he know what the optimal amount of compensation is? He doesn't. So that's interesting. And the other thing, when he said he expects them to go above and beyond, maybe they will, maybe they won't. But again, Southwest has the right incentive to decide how much to compensate disappointed travelers. And remember that if they compensate them too much, they set up this expectation in the future, and that will then get reflected in airfares. Why do many of us fly Southwest? When I do, it's because I'm trying to save money. And there's still the somewhat lower price airline. And so they've got to worry about that. So there's a trade-off between compensating travelers and airfares in the future.
What we're learning here is an economics lesson that seems matter of fact, except for when the U.S. government gets in the way. Now, there are other solutions. Yes. And you bring me, this is the payoff. There are macro solutions, not just how to be polite at the counter. And the macro solution has to do with a momentum from the U.S. government that was stopped mysteriously. It's called deregulation. First, let's reward the government. Once upon a time, it did deregulate the airline industry. Did it work?
It worked. Stephen Breyer was a law professor at Harvard Law School who advised Senator Ted Kennedy from Massachusetts and pushed for deregulation. Alfred Kahn was an economist at Cornell, whom President Carter chose to be president, to be chairman of the Civil Aeronautics Board. And they pushed for deregulation. So we got deregulation de facto in the late 70s under Kahn and de jure in law in the airline deregulation bill. And by December 31st, 1984, the Civil Aeronautics Board had disappeared. It was gone. And over about 25 to 30 years, airfares fell by 44%. And two economists at Brookings attribute half of that to deregulation. We'd rather go without go on a plane that's 70% full than one that's half full, because they used to deregulate with frequency. They used to compete with frequency. And so we got great results from deregulation. Let's take the next step. Let's allow other carriers from other countries to go point to point within our markets, something that is not allowed now.
And that would welcome competition at the gate. And that is a good thing. That's why the fares have been reduced. Does the U.S. government, to your knowledge, either Trump administration, Republican, or Biden administration, Democrat, understand that reducing the cost to the consumer is a good thing?
Well, if you put it that way, I think we'd have to say they do understand it. I thought you were going to ask a little more complicated question. Do they even understand that allowing these competing airlines to be in the business would lower airfares? And that I'm not sure of.
David, right now, Southwest Airlines will regain its business because they remain a low-cost carrier. But if there was to be competition, they might have lost the trust of the public. Is that correct? That's what you're observing?
I think that's true. But I think then they would have had an even stronger incentive to get that trust back, because there are even more airlines they'd be competing against.
David Henderson, writing at Defining Ideas, about an incident at Christmas time that evidences more deregulation in future if we're lucky. David Henderson at the Hoover Institution. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.